too long to stay there.
I don't even know. I'm bringing my iPad to be on my phone.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that we could be here this morning to worship you. We thank you for everything that you do for us and the things that you provide. Pray that you'd help all the school and work requests that came up this morning. Sounds like some people are not going to be getting very much sleep. Pray that you bless them and give them the rest they need in between things. Help those that are working on getting things fixed, or those that have friends from work who really need your help. Pray that you'd help us this morning to learn quickly and understand, even though we're just going to cover a quick version of this. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So we are ordering a new curriculum. It's not here yet, which is fine, because we aren't ready for it yet.
But it looks really, really cool.
Yeah. And it covers... How do I say this?
Current events,
issues of the day, things in our culture, right? From a Bible perspective, not from a talk radio perspective, not from a liberal perspective, not from the mainstream media perspective, but from a Bible perspective, which, you know, always weird. We're very, very large percentage of the few people in Tucson that will care about that's probably sitting in this building today. However, because we know the Bible is God's word, because we know that we're here and created to glorify God, to have a relationship with God, we think it's kind of important that we have the Bible perspective on these things. Because if you don't know the Bible perspective and someone walks up to you and says, how do you feel about, and I'm going to use a really old example, the refugee situation in Darfur and what we're doing about it as a country. Because you're a Christian, what do you think? Who here can definitively answer that from God's word? Here, put my hand down. What we should be doing in that situation. Right? Now that's an old example that was happening years ago. I'm not saying it's resolved. However, it's not one of the big things today we're talking about, right? What if someone came to you and said, you're a Christian, from a Bible perspective, what do you think we should be doing about the threat of Muslim terrorists, right? I don't purport to be able to answer that question for you. I think that that answer requires a whole bunch of Bible study and a whole bunch of current events knowledge, and some foreign policy knowledge, and some lots of things that not even our president has, right? He may have foreign policy advisors. He may have some religious knowledge of some sort. I don't see evidence in his life and his decisions that make me think he's a Bible believer, right? He may have some of the information, but I know he doesn't have the Bible perspective, because if he did, we'd be hearing about it, right? So I'm not saying he's an idiot or anything. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, I don't think even our leaders of this country have the answers to some of these questions. So I'm not offering to you that in, what is it, 13 lessons, and then I'm going to add a couple to it, in, say, 20 weeks when we finish this curriculum, you're going to know all this stuff. But I think we're going to be a lot closer than we were, and we're going to get some Bible perspective. Now, one of the things I noticed that is not covered in the curriculum, there's a couple of things that were glaringly missing to me. One of them is not something I'm going to touch on today, so I won't even bring it up. The other one was, who are we, the country of America, right? What's different about us? What makes us special? What makes us not special? In man's eyes? In God's eyes? Right? What's different about our country? And how much do we, as Christians, actually know about what the Bible and God's Word had to do with this country coming about? How many of you here know what the Declaration of Independence is? You've heard of that, right? How many of you can quote a piece of the Declaration of Independence? What?
nobody gets in there. So with that as the scenario, let's go
paraphrase.
In the second, I'm just going
to now let me tell you, this does not make you a bad American if you can't do that. This makes you a normal American. Okay? I can quote pieces.
Yeah, we memorize parts of
yeah.
school. And
we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the common welfare, right? I mean, it is brilliant.
It's not really that long.
It's brilliant. No, the Declaration of Independence isn't that long, right? But it's brilliant. Then there's the preamble to the Constitution. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary. Who writes like that anymore? Right? Who's even capable of writing like that anymore? So my point in those two pieces right there is the men who wrote our Constitution have more brains in their pinky than most of us have developed in our heads. Okay? They were very, very smart. They were not well educated, as in what a 4-year college degree. Let me finish. They were not well educated, as in what a 4-year college degree would provide us today. Most of them were lawyers. They were not well educated, as in what a lawyer today has, which is what, 6 years of school in addition to a degree or something like that?
I think it's ridiculous.
4 years. 8 years of college to be a lawyer. Usually you would say that lawyers are some of the best educated people out there. I promise you, just about any one of our founding fathers could tear to shreds intellectually just about any law school grad in the country today. There are a few exceptions, obviously. There are some really smart guys out there. I'll try to leave them out. This message, this curriculum, this is in no way political. I wouldn't affiliate myself with a political party. If I did, I wouldn't tell you what it was, because you need to make your own decisions, right? However, the Bible says some things. And, are you ready for this? The Declaration of Independence that created our nation says some things. And there are people who would not like it if you told them that those two documents agreed. Why? Because then when you say this is a Christian nation, it would actually mean something. So if someone came to you today and said, you're a Christian, why do you think America is a Christian nation? You would probably tell them this. Because our nation was founded on Christian principles from the Bible. And when they said to you, name one and give me chapter and verse, you would say, and they would walk away feeling smug because they proved you wrong. They didn't prove you wrong, they proved you ignorant. They proved you nervous. They didn't prove you wrong. Right? So, I'll tell you, I've got enough scripture references and enough verses to do about 4 lessons on this. Okay? We're not going to squeeze 4 lessons worth of in-depth stuff in here today. But let's talk about something that the Declaration of Independence says. And of course, I did all this on my computer this morning and just took notes on here, so now I have to look it up so I don't misquote it.
Remember, these ladies were not
from the Declaration of Independence.
The Roman detachment was told, you keep them sealed in there, you don't take that seal off, you don't take that stone away. They didn't know that part of it. All they saw was that the stone was really fine too, and that the cards were placed
right
here. Of course, it's not rocket science to figure out what their orders may have been.
Yeah. All right. Where is it? I'm gonna skip right to paragraph 2. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Lord took him off
Okay, let's go back to the first sentence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. So we can infer some things. The founding fathers, as a group, that all signed this, believed in evolution. Negative. They did not. They believed we were created, as the Bible says, by a creator. Not intelligent design. Created. Okay? Intelligent design is good. It's watered down. It's a theory. It's not a theory. It's a compromise. A watered down set of beliefs or ideas that you use to get someone to agree with you against evolution. But it's not as close to the Bible as creation, which is a Bible principle, okay? So, they're created. Then it says, and that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. I read a paper this morning on the computer as I was brushing up for this by someone who calls herself a Christian and said, people have no rights in and of themselves, according to the Bible. And according to the Declaration of Independence. So let's read this sentence again. It says, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. So yes, by virtue of the fact that you are a person, you do not have any rights. However, because you are created by a creator, and he chose to endow you with certain rights, you do have rights. Okay? Yes, we are getting to Bible scripture in just a minute. I promise, I have tons of them. Okay? Then it says that among these are, we're going to talk about these three today, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That doesn't mean it's a cartoon where the penguin is named Happy and you're chasing him. Okay? That's not what it means. This is the actual pursuit of happiness, as in a quest to become happy. Okay? We'll talk a little bit about what happiness actually is in a minute. All right. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, endowed by the Creator, and that we are created. All right. So, I'm going to have volunteers. I need Genesis 1, 26, and 27.
Volunteers or volunteers?
Yep. You could say, no, I don't want to read. I'll honor that. I need Deuteronomy, Jenny, 32, 46, and 47.
Just from being in fear. 32 verses 46 and 47.
I need Matthew 4:4. And while you're in the Gospels, get John 8:31 and 32 also. Miss Courtney. You gonna read? John 14:15. Courtney's second one was John 8:31 and 32. Julie left. Up here, Miss Tony. Psalm 19:8. Yes. And Shane, John 15, 10 and 11. You want to read? I can't see you through Shane.
He said no.
Okay. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. Okay. Who did I give Genesis 1, 27 to? Okay, go ahead.
26, you said?
27. 27 first, then we'll do 26. I know.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
Okay, there's about 6 weeks of lessons in that verse, right? We're created in God's image. God created both male and female. And they're different. There are things you can ask a man to do you should never ask a woman to do. There are things women are good at men will never be good at. Right? There are physical capabilities of women that men will never have. There are several. Okay? They're different. But we're created by God this way for a reason. Okay? So, we're created in the image of God. I'm going somewhere with this. Genesis 1:26 says what?
And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
Okay, so from those two verses, a lot of people say we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness because we're created in the image of God. God is allowed to pursue happiness. The Bible talks about he has great joy in his creation. Okay, so if God is able to pursue happiness, we have the right to pursue happiness because we're created in his image. God's allowed to live, we should be allowed to live. God gave us life, we should be allowed to live, we should have a right to life, right? You see how this argument works? Then it says, for the liberty part, God not only created us, he gave men or people dominion over the plants and the animals and the right, the whole earth. So if we were created in his image and we were special enough that he put us in charge, we should be free to live that out. So some people will tell you all you need for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is Genesis 1:26 and 27. You could probably just do it with 1:26. Okay? So if you wanted a verse, and I would challenge you before you try to explain this to someone who doesn't believe the Bible, right? I would challenge you to study this out a little more, but if you wanted just one verse, you could go there. Okay? There's a whole other school of thought we can use to explain it all, and we'll embark on that in a moment. All right? The right to life, Mrs. Jenny, Deuteronomy 32, 46, and 47.
And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life, and through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land, whither ye go over Jordan to possess it.
So what's it talking about here?
Life?
What else?
Law? Obeying.
Law? Commandments?
Yeah.
Command your children to observe all the words of this law?
Because we're going to stop our text right here, because then the angels say, why seek ye the living?
So he says, you should obey all this law, you should teach your children to obey all this law, and in verse 47 he says, for, meaning, because of what we just said, it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life.
Fear.
What is your life supposed to be? According to these two verses, what is your life supposed to be? We'll go back to verse 46. Set your hearts unto all the words which I testify unto you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe and to do all the words of this law. What is your life? To observe to do according to this law, and teach your children to observe to do according to this law. What is this law? Hint. Bible. Okay. So, this says, Deuteronomy says, that our life as created beings is to obey the commandments of our Creator. Shane, you're a smart guy. If you were to build, design, program, produce, and mass distribute a robot tomorrow, what would you expect it to do?
Whatever you told it to
do. What you programmed it to do? What you told it to do? You would expect it to behave within a confined set of, are you ready for this? Rules, or laws, or instructions, right? Why would you expect it to do that?
Because I made it myself.
Because you created it, and you gave it the rules, and you told it, I'm powering you on, now follow these rules. Right? So part of our right to life comes from the fact that we're created by God to follow His commandments. And what are some of His commandments? Thou shalt not. Four-letter word. Ends in ill. Thou shalt not kill. If our life is to follow His commandments, and His commandments are that we don't kill each other, does that mean each other has a right to life? And if His commandments to each other are, don't kill that guy either, does that mean you have a right to life? Okay? So we can kind of put a check mark by the right to life. Does that make sense? Now, can you go preach a sermon on it? Probably not. Do you have some idea where they got it from when they wrote the Declaration of Independence? Maybe. We might be getting there. All right, right to life. Oh, there's another verse for that. Matthew 4:4. Did I give that to someone?
But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When they asked Jesus, I think I have it in here later. When they asked Jesus, when Jesus asked them, do you love me? And they said, yes. What did He respond back and say? If you love me, keep my... God said it in the Old Testament, and who repeated it in the New Testament? God. Jesus. Okay? I know. You guys have been in church your whole life. This is not news. However, using it to explain to someone why you believe this country was founded on biblical principles might not be something you've had to think out before. Okay? Life. Liberty. Someone tell me what the Bible says about freedom. Someone tell me what the Bible says about liberty.
There's no expiration date.
There's a verse in John that I sent someone to, John 8:31 and 32.
But until
God does something, I'm just going to sit here and then we move on to the lesson. What makes us free? The truth. So then what would enslave us?
Lies,
untruth, half-truth, what we talked about earlier, compromise of the truth, right? So the minute you concede to someone that you believe in intelligent design, you've given up your whole position. Because now you got them to say, okay, I agree. That's pretty nifty how that works. I guess it had an intelligent designer.
Or that you're against abortion unless these circumstances are present.
As soon as you're against abortion, except in these cases, you're not actually against abortion. Right? Because if you want to say, I'm against abortion, you have to be able to say why. And if you say why you're against abortion, because it's a baby, it's a sovereign life, and it has, are you ready for this? A right to life that we just talked about, and liberty, and pursuit of happiness. If you're going to say I'm against abortion for these reasons, where does the caveat come in? Something bad happened to the mother? Something bad could happen to the mother? Those are the reasons they want you to say it's okay to have abortions. And truth be told, that's how it all started. Well, women who were raped, or women who might die if they had the baby, petition for a way to have the, are you ready for this? The right to terminate the rights of the child for their own benefit. It started for the exceptions. That's how it started. No one went to court to say, we should all be allowed to kill our babies. They went to court and said, it's raped, and it's horrible.
It is horrible.
But I don't want to have to carry and birth the baby, so let me out of it. They went to court with a sob story. And they got someone to have compassion on them and allow them an exception to God's natural laws. When a man and a woman come together and life is conceived, a baby is later born. That's God's laws. That's how that works. They got an exception to God's laws for this little case. And they said, well, what if I might have ill effects in my body? I might get sick, I might die, I might get hurt, whatever, if I have the baby. And they got that exception added, right? And now it's become, I don't want it because I don't think I'll look good anymore if I have a baby. Now you're allowed to terminate your pregnancy, your child, their right to life, because you're afraid of how you'll look after? Yeah, legal. Allowed to do it right here in the great US of A, founded on creation and God's principles of the right to life. Allowed to do it. You can't give up an edge case or an exception or a compromise when you're talking about God's laws. It either is or it isn't. You either believe it or you don't. You don't believe it except when. You either believe it or you don't. Does that make sense? Okay. Sidetrack, but a good one. I think.
Sorry.
So liberty says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What's the truth in the Bible?
The gospel of Jesus.
Jesus. What would you say?
Yes, but the whole Bible's true, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Think about this. We were talking about if you love God and you're created in His image, He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now He's saying you should know the truth and the truth shall make you free. What is another name? This is probably too open of a question because it's too many. What's another name for Jesus? The Word. Remember at the beginning of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word. It didn't mean this printed Bible. That didn't get written till later by men. Inspired by God, written down by men. They were not referring to the written Word of God when they said, in the beginning was the Word. What were they referring to? It goes on to explain, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Then it says, are you ready? All things were made by Him. And it clarifies. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Then it says, in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus has been there since before we were there. Okay? He says, if you love Him, keep His commandments. If we keep His commandments, we will be free. Okay? So freedom, liberty, is a little harder to explain because in Bible terms, because everyone has a different definition for liberty, right? Well, what's liberty? Well, it's a university that's kind of liberal, but it calls itself a Bible college. Right? Where did Bernie Sanders give his last big speech? Liberty University. Sign me up for Bible college, please, but not there. Okay? Great things have come out of Liberty University. Lots of great graduates. Lots of great books have been written. There's lots of great expounded theology. right, where they write books about the Bible to help people understand more about the Bible. Lots of great things. Not so much anymore. Because they accepted what?
Compromise.
A compromise. An exception. An edge case, a sob story. Okay. Liberty. Who has John 14, 15?
If you love me, keep my commandments.
We were talking about that. I think I quoted that, but had it written down too. If you love me, keep my commandments. Okay? All right? Let's talk about the pursuit of happiness. Did I assign someone Genesis 1:10?
What?
I have Psalms.
Okay, grab Genesis 1:10 if you will, Jen. Did I have you in John 14? Can you flip over a page to John 15? All right. Remember when we started, we said we were created in the image of God? And since we're created in his image, we have some of his attributes, some freedoms that we have come from him because we're created to be like him. You remember we talked about that a little bit? Genesis 1:10 says,
and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called the seas. And God saw that it was good.
God saw that it was good. So he did some work. He looked back on it. Are you ready for this? He took joy in his work, and it made him
happy.
God is shown to pursue happiness. Not chase penguins, pursue happiness. Okay? So if God's allowed to pursue happiness and we're created in his image, some people will tell you that's all you need to prove that we have the right to the pursuit of happiness. Okay? We'll go a little further. Psalm 19:8 says what?
Psalm 19:8. Statutes, thank you. Of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes.
Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Did I assign that?
Yes. Okay.
Rejoice evermore.
Rejoice evermore. Look at Psalm 19:8. That's the problem with having so many scriptures and only taking that many notes. 19:8. I did miss it. There's that word. You ready for this word? We've used it already today. Commandment. The statutes of the Lord are right. Rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. We have a commandment from the Lord to rejoice evermore. This says, the statutes of the Lord are right, so that would be a statute of the Lord, and it makes your heart rejoice. So you get happiness by obeying the commandment that says to be happy. So I'm going to use a terrible, terrible word. It's the word choice. It's a terrible word because people use it to refer to being allowed to terminate the child or the life of the child that they're carrying because they have the freedom of choice, right? So now we've taken this edge case and we've grown it into a right and we've said you have the right to disobey God's commandments, to pursue this right that ostensibly you have the same way you have the right to life, to liberty, pursuit of happiness. Ostensibly, you have those same rights, but your child does not. And you have the choice to end your child's rights completely and their life completely because you want to make a choice. The Bible here talks to us about making a choice. It's a different choice. It talks to us about choosing to rejoice evermore. In Philippians 4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Why is Paul telling us to rejoice? Not what's our reason for being happy, but why is he telling us to do it? Because it is a choice. You can be presented with some options, and you can choose to be unhappy about those options and not like any of them. Or you can be presented with some options, and you can look at them and go, "Hey, it might be ugly, it might smell bad when it runs, it might not be very fast, it might be dirty, but at least I have a car." You can choose to be thankful, you can choose to rejoice, or, are you ready? You can choose not to. So that's why when the Founding Fathers put it in the Declaration of Independence, they did not say you have the right to life, liberty, and happiness. Happiness is not a right. The choice to pursue happiness is a right. You could do, maybe you can guess from the way I'm talking about this, you could do a whole set of lessons on choosing to rejoice rather than choosing not to rejoice. You could do a whole set of lessons on choices. We talk to our kids all the time about, how did you get in trouble? Well, I did this. Why didn't you do this instead? Well, I chose to do this. You made a choice, didn't you? You chose to be naughty. You are not naughty by nature. Well, you kind of are. We are. We do have a bad nature, right? You're not a bad thing. Like you got a 3-year-old sitting on your lap. You're not going to explain to him the nature of man being naughty, right? You just say, it's not that you're naughty. It's that you made a naughty choice, right? People make bad choices all the time. All the time. People also make good choices all the time. Sometimes people do this without even trying to decide which one's wrong and which one's right. Sometimes people just choose
the path of least resistance.
The path of least resistance, which very often is more naughty than right.
Right.
Okay? Usually, we have a choice to make. We can choose to understand how this country got here and what we have to do with God's word and our relationship with the world. Or we can choose to be ignorant about all these current events and culture issues we're going to talk about and not know what's going on. And then I promise you, because this happens to me at work, someday someone will walk up to you out of the blue and ask you the craziest thing, like, "Why do you think abortion is wrong?" Well, if all you can say is the last thing you heard on the radio is probably biased one way or the other. If it's a talk radio conservative show, they're probably telling you what they want you to say. If it's not a conservative talk radio show, if it's some other media outlet, they're telling you what they want you to say.
Well,
neither one of them may be telling you what God's word
says. And that's the thing, it's not about a political party. My brother, I would not consider him to be a Bible believer, but he's a very staunch conservative. And he'll tell you the reasons he is, and they have nothing to do with the Bible.
That's right. But if someone asks you, a Christian, even if they don't say, "Why do you as a Christian believe abortion's wrong?" They just say, "Why do you believe abortion's wrong? Why do you believe the way you do, why do you feel the way you do about illegal immigration, just for another issue?"
That's on the list, isn't it?
Why do you feel this way about feminism? That's on the list. Is feminism good or bad? We'll see, won't we? Why do you believe the way you do? If you're a Christian, your answer should come straight out of here. Right? It shouldn't come out of here. Shouldn't come off a web page. Shouldn't come out of something you last heard on radio. It should come straight out of here. Okay? Yeah, we're done. Let's pray. Memory verse will be Genesis 1:26. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your word. Pray that you'd help us to remember what you teach us. Help us to remember the things we're just starting to scratch the surface of here. Help us to know what we can do to show others your principles through our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm really stupid calling. We did.
Uh-oh.
We got to check and touch it.